It was a contentious debate in Miami last night between Democratic presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, but they both affirmed their commitment to immigration reform. Here's her answer to a question on whether Clinton's vote as a New York senator to build a wall on the southern border differs from Donald Trump's plan.
It's a big difference. I mean, first of all, as I understand him, he's talking about a very tall wall, right? A beautiful tall wall, the most beautiful tall wall, better than the Great Wall of China, that would run the entire border, that he would somehow magically get the Mexican government to pay for. And, you know, it's just fantasy. And in fact, if he cared to know anything about what members of Congress, like the senator and I, have done, where it was necessary, we did support some fencing. Where it was necessary, we did add Border Patrol agents. We have done what, by any fair estimate, would have to conclude is a good job, quote, securing the border. So let's get about the business of comprehensive immigration reform.
Let me just,
Senator.
The Secretary and I mostly, I think, agree on this issue. Look, in this country, immigration reform is a very hot debate. It's divided the country. But I would hope very much that as we have that debate, we do not, as Donald Trump and others have done, resort to racism and xenophobia and bigotry. This idea of suddenly one day or maybe a night rounding up 11 million people and taking them outside of this country is a vulgar, absurd idea that I would hope very few people in America support.
The topic of Wall Street came up. Mrs. Clinton says she has a public record of calling out Wall Street, calling for a moratorium on foreclosures, that she has the toughest, most comprehensive plan to go after Wall Street.
And not just the big banks, all the other financial interests that pose a threat to our economy. And I have said no bank is too big to fail, and no executive is too powerful to jail. And I will use the powers that have now been passed by the Congress, by President Obama, who, incidentally, took a lot of money from Wall Street, which didn't stop him from signing into law the toughest regulations on the financial industry since the Great Depression.
Look, look. Clearly, the Secretary's words to Wall Street has really intimidated them. And that is why they have given her $15 million in campaign contributions.
Clinton says this is the seventh debate or so, and that Sanders is always criticizing Presidents Clinton and Obama. She says she wants Sanders to criticize the Republican presidents.
I wish he would criticize and join me in criticizing George W. Bush, who I think wrecked the economy and created the conditions for the Great Recession. You know, at the end of the 90s, we had 23 million new jobs. Incomes went up for everybody. We were talking earlier about what needs to be done for Latinos and African Americans. Well, we were doing it by the end of the 90s. Median family income went up 17%. For minorities, it went up even more. Along came the Republicans. Trickle-down economics, one of the worst ideas since snake oil, was put back into place. And we ended up with the Great Recession. President Obama had to rescue the economy, and I don't think he gets the credit,
Senator,
he deserves for doing that.
Senator Sanders, your name was mentioned.
Let me say this. I gather Secretary Clinton hasn't listened to too many of my speeches or followed my work in the Congress, because very few people stood up to George W. Bush, whether it was the war in Iraq or any other of his policies. Now, when we talk about the policies of the 1990s, I worked closely and supported President Clinton, and obviously I have worked very closely in supporting President Obama, who has taken our economy a very long way from where Bush left us. But when you go back to the 1990s, let's remember, that's when Wall Street deregulation took place.
Thank you, Senator.
That's when disastrous trade policies took place. So yes, good things happened, but some dangerous mistakes were made that laid the groundwork for some of the problems we're having with a disappearing middle class.
Thank you, Senator. Time is up.
The debate was put on by Univision and CNN. It comes on the heels of Bernie Sanders winning the Michigan primary Tuesday night, even though Hillary Clinton was leading in the polls. It was a narrow victory, but a victory nonetheless. Sanders tapped into voters' concerns about the economy, and he energized blue-collar workers and young people. In Mississippi, Clinton won easily with 83% of the vote. As with other southern states, she crushed Sanders with the black vote. Clinton now has 760 pledged delegates. Sanders has 546. What's misleading is when pledged delegates and superdelegates are added together by major media. This not only discourages some Sanders voters, but it makes it seem as if the two candidates are further apart than they are.
If Sanders starts to win states, especially in the Rust Belt, which is the next part of this primary, then that puts a lot of pressure on those superdelegates.
Kevin Gastola is with Shadowproof.com. He's been looking at the superdelegate counts. He says the only delegates that really matter are the pledge delegates. This is because superdelegates can change their mind up until the convention in July.
Like, let's say Sanders won in the pledge delegates. He won the majority of primaries and caucuses, but she's beating him because she has a superdelegate. I think that sets up a really critical showdown within the Democratic Party.
717 superdelegates are in play, and who they vote for may shift. Right now, mainstream media has it at 461 for Clinton and 25 for Sanders, but Gastola says there are still hundreds of superdelegates who haven't declared. And on Wednesday, the New York Times revised its way of counting delegates. It now separates pledge delegates from superdelegates. On the Republican side, there are no superdelegates. Donald Trump now has 458 pledged delegates, Ted Cruz 359, and Marco Rubio 151. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.